Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It was one of those cold March nights when the chill seemed to cut right through you. I had just finished an exhausting shift at the hospital where I worked as a cleaning woman. The hours were brutal, but it was good, honest work. My drive home usually helped me unwind after work. It was peaceful in a way I was used to. I hadn't realized how low my gas tank was until the little warning light on my dashboard blinked on. There weren't many options at that hour, so I pulled into the first gas station I saw. The place looked run down, but it was open, and that was good enough for me. The gas station was lit by a couple of flickering lights that barely did the job. The pumps looked ancient, and the only car in sight was a rusted pickup truck parked on the side. I parked near the closest pump and stepped out to fill my tank, shivering as the cold crept through my jacket. As I grabbed the nozzle, I noticed a man walking out from behind the station's small building. He was wearing a clean, well-pressed uniform, and I figured he must be part of the staff, though I hadn't seen anyone inside when I pulled in. He smiled as he approached, and it wasn't the friendly kind of smile. It was too wide, too forced, like he was trying hard to convince me of something. "Need some help?" he asked, his voice smooth but slightly off. "No, I'm good, thanks," I replied, trying to act like it was no big deal. But something about him gave me the creeps. He wasn't dirty or disheveled like you'd expect at this kind of place. His uniform was spotless, his hands too clean. It didn't match the setting. He stayed put, just standing there as I tried to pump my gas. When the nozzle clicked, signaling it was ready, he stepped closer. "I can check your oil for you," he offered. "No charge. I'll just pop the hood for a quick look." "That's okay," I said quickly. "I'm fine, really." He didn't move. "You sure? Looks like your car is running a little rough. I'd hate for you to break down on a night like this." The way he wouldn't drop it made me feel all kinds of tense. I tried to play it cool, muttering something about needing to get home. I finished pumping and reached for the gas cap, but he was suddenly closer, standing just a foot or two away. His eyes flicked to my trunk. "I'll check the engine real quick," he said, already reaching for the latch on the front of my car. That's when my brain went from a little heads up to full-on panic mode. "No, seriously," I said firmly, stepping back. "I need to go." He stopped, his hand hovering midair. For a moment, we just stared at each other. Then he smiled again, but it was different this time. Less forced, it felt like it had weight behind it. His other hand slipped into his pocket, and my breath caught. Without thinking, I yanked the door open and jumped into my car. He didn't say anything, didn't shout or try to stop me. He just started walking toward the driver's side. His hand was still in his pocket, and I wasn't dumb enough to wait and find out why. I threw the car into reverse and slammed on the gas. The tires squealed as I backed up, nearly hitting a barrel of water behind me. I shifted into drive and sped off, not even bothering to put my seatbelt on until I was halfway down the street. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely grip the wheel. In my rearview mirror, I saw him standing there, illuminated by the gas station lights. He wasn't running after me or yelling. He just stood there, watching me drive away, his hands still in his pocket. It was the longest 20 minutes of my life on that drive home. I couldn't stop checking my mirrors, sure I'd see headlights following me. When I finally pulled into my driveway, I sat in the car for a moment, trying to calm my nerves. The house felt too dark, too quiet, but I forced myself to go inside. Once I locked the doors, every lock, even the ones I usually ignored, I went to my bedroom and sat on the edge of the bed, staring at nothing. I told myself, "Chill out, you're overthinking this. He's probably harmless." But the image of him standing there, smiling that strange smile, wouldn't leave my mind. The next day at work, I was totally distracted. I told one of my coworkers about what had happened. "You've got to trust your instincts," she said. "If it felt wrong, it probably was." 2 days later, I was scrolling through my phone during a break when a news alert popped up. I couldn't move after reading the headline, "Man posing as gas station attendant wanted in connection with abduction." The article described a man matching his description, right down to the spotless uniform and fake friendliness. He had approached a woman at another station just a few miles from where I had been and convinced her to let him help with her car. She hadn't been as lucky. They found her car abandoned in the desert the next morning, but she was still missing. The police were urging anyone with information to come forward, and my stomach churned as I realized how close I had come to being his next target. That same day, after finishing my shift, I decided to go straight to the police station. I walked in, still nervous but determined to do the right thing. When I sat down with an officer, I told them everything. The man's spotless uniform, the way he had smiled too much, how he tried to get me to open the trunk or pop the hood. I described his height, build, and the gas station's exact location. The officer took notes and assured me they'd look into it, which gave me a small sense of relief. Sharing my story with the police felt even more important now, knowing it might help prevent another tragedy. I've replayed that night in my head so many times since then. What if I hadn't listened to my gut? What if I had let him check my car? The what-ifs were endless and terrifying. I didn't sleep much that night, and when I did, I dreamt of his smile, his hand in his pocket, the way he had stared at me as I drove away. Since then, I've made a rule for myself. No more stopping at shady gas stations, no matter how low my tank is. I've even started carrying a small canister of gas in my trunk, just in case. It's a small precaution, but it makes me feel a little safer. I can't drive past a gas station at night without feeling a twinge of anxiety, but it also reminds me how important it is to trust your instincts. They might just save your life. Spring break in April 2023 found me driving through Tuscaloosa, Alabama on a...
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Solo road trip. As a 28-year-old college student, I'd been craving a break from the stress of exams and term papers. This trip was meant to be a mental reset. No strict itinerary, just the open road, my favorite playlists, and taking a little side trip here or there whenever something looked interesting. After several hours of driving, though, my body was stiff and nature was calling. I needed to find a bathroom fast. It didn't take long to spot a small, nondescript gas station just off the highway. You could tell the place had been around forever, with a faded sign barely hanging on and old gas pumps that looked ready to retire. Only one other car was in the lot, an old, small Honda parked off to the side. Everything about the place screamed forgotten, with a quiet that gave me chills. I pulled into a spot near the entrance and stepped out of my car. The heat of the afternoon clung to everything, making the stillness even heavier. Inside, the station wasn't much better. It looked like the place hadn't been cleaned in weeks, the narrow aisles stocked with dusty snacks and faded soda cans. It smelled like old coffee mixed with some industrial cleaner that couldn't hide the damp stink. Behind the counter sat an elderly man with thick glasses, engrossed in an old newspaper. He barely acknowledged me as I walked in.
"Excuse me, where's the restroom?"
He pointed to a dim hallway at the back of the store without looking up. His indifference felt odd, but I assumed it was just boredom. I followed his gesture, and I made my way to the restroom. The bathroom door was a faded shade of blue, its surface marred with scratches and peeling paint. I pushed it open, stepping inside. The interior wasn't much better. Cracked tiles lined the floor, the walls were stained with years of grime, and the overhead light looked like it was moments away from burning out. A rusted sink sat below a mirror so fogged with dirt that it barely reflected anything. It wasn't pleasant, but it would do. After taking care of business, I moved to the sink, washing my hands under the weak stream of water. The paper towel dispenser wheezed as I pulled out a few sheets to dry off. I turned to leave, reaching for the door handle, but no matter how hard I tried, it wouldn't turn. Confused, I tried again, twisting and pulling harder. Nothing. The door didn't even move an inch. My first thought was that the old lock was jammed. I jiggled the handle a few more times, hoping it would loosen, but it was no use. "Hello?" I called out, knocking on the door. My voice echoed in the cramped space. "The door's stuck. Can someone help me?" There was no response. I could feel myself starting to worry, but I tried to stay calm. Maybe the lock was just finicky, or maybe the attendant hadn't heard me. I knocked louder this time, shouting, "Hey, I'm stuck in here!" That's when I heard it. Footsteps. They were approaching slowly from the other side of the door. It felt like a giant weight had just been lifted off my shoulders. "Hey, I'm locked in. Can you open the door?" My voice more urgent now, but the footsteps stopped. Whoever was out there didn't say anything. They didn't try to open the door or even acknowledge me. They just stood there. I could feel their presence. The silence between us was tense, like a taut rope. "Hello?" I tried again, my voice faltering a little. The footsteps resumed, this time moving away, fading into the distance until I couldn't hear them anymore. My initial relief turned into this heavy, creeping dread. Why hadn't they responded? Why hadn't they helped? I banged on the door harder, shouting louder, my fists echoing against the wood. Minutes dragged by. I pressed my ear against the door, straining to hear any sign of life outside, but all I got was silence. My mind was on a loop, running through every what-if imaginable. Was this some kind of prank? Had the attendant locked me in by mistake, or was it something worse? Just as I was about to give in to panic, the door creaked open. I nearly tripped backward when the elderly attendant showed up in the doorway, looking irritated. "What's all the noise about?" he asked, his voice gruff. I stared at him, disbelief and frustration bubbling up. The door was locked. I couldn't get out. He gave me a skeptical, weird look, like I just told him the sky was green. "Locked? It doesn't lock from the outside. You sure it wasn't stuck?" "I'm sure. I've been banging on it for who knows how long." He just shrugged. Clearly, he didn't seem to care at all. "Well, it's open now. You're good to go." Something about his nonchalance made my skin crawl. I brushed past him, muttering a terse thanks as I hurried back to the front of the store. My pulse was still racing, and all I could think about was getting out of there. As I walked to my car, I looked back at the gas station. That's when I saw it. Standing in the shadows near the side of the building was a figure. It was too dark to make out any details, but someone was there, watching me. I quickened my pace, unlocking my car and sliding in. I locked the doors and started the engine, my eyes darting back to the shadows. The figure hadn't moved. I didn't wait around to see who or what it was. I pulled out of the lot and onto the highway. Even as I drove, all I could see was the image of that figure standing motionless in the shadows. When I finally reached my hotel that night, I locked the door and wedged a chair under the handle for extra security. Over and over, I heard those footsteps in my head and the unsettling silence that followed. Who was out there? Why didn't they help? And how had the door been locked? I'll never know the answers, and maybe that's for the best. But one thing's certain, I won't be stopping at random gas stations anytime soon. The next morning, as I loaded up my car to continue my trip, it felt like paranoia had moved in, and I couldn't kick it out. Every passerby felt like they were staring a little too long. Every parked car seemed suspiciously out of place. At one point, I pulled into a rest stop just to shake the tension, staring into my coffee as if the answers to my unease could be found in its swirls. Later that day, I stopped at a more populated station to refuel. As I stepped inside to grab a snack, the bright lights and busy vibe made me feel better after the emptiness of the night before. But even there, I couldn't fully relax. I kept looking over at the exits, so focused that every creak or soft shuffle sounded like a warning. The attendant asked if I was okay as I paid for my snack, and I said I was just tired from the road. Weeks after returning home, the memory of that night stayed vivid in my mind. I caught myself Googling news about Tuscaloosa gas stations, half hoping and half dreading to find a story about something sinister happening there. But there was nothing. No reports of break-ins, no crimes that fit the eerie scenario I had experienced. Sometimes, it's the absence of answers that makes an experience linger. I'll never know who locked that door or why they didn't respond when I called out. I'll never know who or what was standing in the shadows as I fled that night. And maybe it's better that way. Whatever happened in that dingy gas station bathroom is a story I'll carry with me. A clear example of how quickly an ordinary moment can shift into something terrifying. In September 2021, during a work trip to Asheville, North Carolina, I experienced something that still unsettles me whenever I think about it. As a 33-year-old accountant, I've grown accustomed to navigating unfamiliar places for my job, but this particular night put all my instincts to the test. After a long day of back-to-back meetings, I was eager to get to my hotel and finally relax. Unfortunately, my GPS decided to throw me a curveball, rerouting me onto a winding, unlit road I didn't recognize. The road was eerily empty, surrounded by thick trees on either side. My headlights only managed to carve out a small, dim path in the overwhelming darkness, and the absence of streetlights made the whole area feel suffocating. The twists and turns in the road added to my anxiety, as each corner revealed more of the same, dense woods and unyielding shadows. Then, to make matters worse, my car's low fuel warning dinged. My gas tank was nearly empty, and there wasn't a single house, car, or person in sight. I started to feel that tight knot of anxiety building in my stomach, and I could almost hear the clock ticking down with every mile I drove. Just when I was beginning to seriously worry, a gas station appeared out of nowhere. It screamed, old and forgotten, with paint flaking away and a neon gas sign that couldn't stay lit. The building was small, almost shack-like, with a single dim light over the entrance. Everything about it screamed, stay away, but I didn't have the luxury of being picky. I pulled into the lot and parked at the nearest pump, relieved to have at least found fuel. The lot was empty except for an old truck parked near the side of the building. Its windows were dark, and I couldn't tell if anyone was inside. As I stepped out of my car, the door to the station creaked open and a man emerged. He was wearing a faded, stained uniform and had an unsettlingly wide grin plastered on his face. "Evening, miss," he greeted, his tone overly friendly for such a desolate setting. "Hi," I replied, keeping my voice neutral. Something about him felt off. His smile was too forced, his demeanor too eager. Still, I needed gas, so I grabbed my card and turned toward the pump. "Let me help you with that," he said, stepping closer. "These old pumps can be tricky." "Thanks, but I've got it," I said, making an effort to keep things polite but firm. He hesitated for a moment, then stepped back, still watching me with that strange grin. I swiped my card and tried to start the pump, but nothing happened. I tried again. Still nothing. "Looks like it's acting up," the man said, his grin widening. "Why don't you come inside? We can sort it out at the register." Everything in me said, "Don't go in there." "I'll just try another pump," I said, moving to the one next to it. But the result was the same. The attendant followed me, his presence growing more intrusive. "Sometimes they're all like this," he said casually. "Could be your car. Want me to take a quick look? Might just be a connection issue." "No, that's okay," I said, now struggling to hide the edge in my voice. I looked around the lot, searching for anyone else or any sign of activity. There was nothing. Even the truck parked near the building looked abandoned, its windows too dark to see inside. The thought crossed my mind that someone might be watching me from inside that vehicle, and the idea made my skin crawl. It'll only take a second, he insisted, stepping closer again. Pop the hood, and I'll have it fixed in no time. Feigning agreement, I forced a tight smile. Sure, let me just move the car closer to the building, I said. I climbed into my car, locked the doors, and started the engine. His grin faltered as he realized what I was doing. Without hesitation, I threw the car into reverse, my tires kicking up gravel as I sped out of the lot. In my rearview mirror, I saw him sprinting after me, something shiny clutched in his hand. I was out of there before I could find out what it was. My only focus was on getting back to a main road and away from that gas station. Several miles later, I finally reached a well-lit intersection and pulled into a larger, busier station. I had no idea the car could still go so many miles on that little bit of gas. Seeing other people in the bright lights made me feel like I was finally safe. As I stood there, pumping gas, my hands still trembling, I couldn't stop thinking about how close I might have been to something really bad. Later that night, after I finally reached my hotel, I couldn't let it go. Unable to keep it to myself, I called my husband. He's a police officer and has a knack for knowing when something isn't right. As I told him what happened, his voice went from worried to downright pissed. You should have called me immediately, he said. That guy could still be out there trying to do the same thing to someone else. Without hesitation, he told me to give him every detail I could remember. The station's location, the description of the man, the truck. As soon as I finished, he said he was going to call a buddy of his, a local cop who worked near Asheville. About an hour later, my husband called me back. I talked to my friend, he said. He's heading over there to check it out. He said that station has a bad reputation. Some weird stuff has happened around there before. I'll let you know what he finds. I barely slept that night, tossing and turning with a mixture of fear and guilt. By morning, my husband had an update. They found the place empty, he told me. The truck was gone, and there was no sign of the guy you described. But here's the weird part. My friend said the pumps weren't even connected to the station's system. They've been shut off for months. That guy had no reason to be there. Hearing that only made my unease worse. Whoever he was, whatever his intentions, I had a feeling I was lucky to get away when I did. My husband's friends said they'd keep an eye on the area, but I knew I wouldn't get the closure I was hoping for. These days, I still think about that night, and I always make sure my gas tank is full before I hit the road, because you never know what's waiting at the next station. One thing is certain, I'll never ignore my instincts again. Whatever was waiting for me at that gas station, I'm just grateful I drove away. It happened in November in Boise, Idaho. I had been driving around all day making deliveries, and I still had a few stops left. My truck was almost out of gas, and I knew I couldn't keep going without filling up. Lucky for me, I saw a gas station up ahead. It was pretty basic, just an old building and a neon sign that barely worked. But out in the middle of nowhere, you take what you can get. When I pulled into the lot, it was completely empty. Just my truck and the glow of the lights inside the store. I parked by one of the pumps and got out. The ground was gravel, and my boots made sure everyone could hear me coming. The cold air stung my face as I walked to the door. When I opened it, the creak was so loud it made me jump a little. Inside, the place was silent. The lights above buzzed softly, and everything looked clean but old. There were shelves with snacks and drinks, but no cashier in sight. I walked to the counter, expecting someone to pop out from the back, but no one did. Hello? My voice echoed in the quiet store, but nobody answered. I looked around, feeling a little weird about how empty it was. The cash register was closed, and it didn't look like anything was out of place. But then I noticed something on the floor behind the counter, a dark stain that stretched toward a door labeled Employees Only. At first, I thought it was spilled soda or oil, but when I got closer, I saw it wasn't that. The stain was dark red, and it hit me. It was blood. My first thought was to get out of there. But something made me stay. Maybe I was just curious, or maybe I didn't want to leave without knowing what was going on. Slowly, I walked toward the door. My boots made a squeaky sound on the tile floor, and it felt like the whole world had gone quiet. I reached for the door handle, but something made me stop. What if something bad was on the other side? But the door wasn't locked, so I pushed it open. It creaked loudly, and the room inside was dimly lit by a single bulb that flickered now and then. There were shelves with boxes and cleaning supplies, but what caught my eye was in the middle of the room. A man was tied to a chair. His head hung low, and he wasn't moving. For a second, I thought he was dead. My legs went numb, and I couldn't do anything but stand there. But then he made a small groaning sound, and his head shifted a little. "Hey," I whispered, stepping into the room. "Are you okay?" He didn't answer, just groaned again. His hands were tied behind him, and there was something stuffed in his mouth, held there with duct tape. I could see blood on his forehead, and his shirt was stained too. My brain finally kicked in, and I turned and ran out of the room. Back in the store, I grabbed my phone and called 911. 911, what's your emergency? The operator asked. I tried to explain what I saw, but my words came out all jumbled. I'm at a gas station off Route 20, I said. There's a man in the back, tied up, and there's blood everywhere. I think he's been hurt. The operator told me to stay on the line and wait for the police, but I didn't want to stay in that creepy store. I ran back to my truck, locked the doors, and kept watching the gas station entrance. My heart was racing as I looked around, expecting someone to come running out after me. It felt like forever, but finally I saw the flashing lights of a police car coming down the road. Two officers got out, shining their flashlights as they walked toward the store. I jumped out of my truck and waved them over, trying to explain what I saw. They went inside, moving carefully. One of them had his gun drawn, and the other stayed close behind. I stayed outside, pacing back and forth. My mind was spinning with what I'd seen. One officer came back out to speak to me, while the other stayed with the man in the back. "We've called an ambulance," the officer said, looking serious. "He's lucky you called. It looks like someone tried to rob the place and didn't want to leave witnesses. They knocked him out and tied him up, but something must have scared them off before they could finish the job." The ambulance took the man to the hospital, and the officers asked me to give a statement. Once that was done, they told me I could leave. As I drove away, I started to feel the weight of everything that had happened. My hands were still shaking, and I couldn't stop thinking about the blood and how quiet the store had been. As I drove home, every shadow on the road seemed darker, every sound louder. I kept thinking about the way the man looked so helpless, tied to that chair. What if I hadn't stopped at that station? Would anyone have found him in time? The thought made my chest clench up, and I had to remind myself to keep breathing. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the blood on the floor and the man tied to the chair. I kept thinking about the person who had done this. How can a person do this to another human being? Even after all this time, I still find myself thinking about it, especially when I'm out driving late at night. I know I may have saved that man's life, but the next time I pull up to an empty gas station, I think I'll just turn right around and leave. The memory of that night has stayed with me. You think you're just stopping for gas, but in an instant, your whole world can change. You never know what's waiting for you in the quiet moments. If these stories sent shivers down your spine, make sure you hit that like button and subscribe so you never miss our next chilling upload. Don't forget to share this video with your thrill-seeking friends. Got your own eerie gas station encounter? Please email me. I'd love to share your story in a future video. Stay safe out there and trust your instincts when something doesn't feel right. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.